Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot. I'm
if you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a tooth.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat scratch fever.
Another year, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're gonna find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson, your host, here to talk Carolina Panthers football for about the next 90 minutes. We are smack dab in the middle of the 2017 season, so we have lots of topics to talk about. As you well know, Panthers are 4-2. Coming off their second loss of the season, it was a damn tough one. One that, in my view, they should have won or could have won. Certainly had a chance. Played well enough, though. Certainly you could make the argument that they were outplayed in many ways by the Eagles. But, hey, in my book, if you get the ball back within a touchdown and at least 2 minutes on the board, you had a chance. And in the end, they just couldn't seal the deal. So on this show last week, I talked about how it seemed like the offense was looking a lot like the 2015 offense. Now, I think more of the 2016 offense reared its ugly head. Defense played pretty well. Got some pressure on Carson Wentz. But, you know, as I said, they couldn't overcome a couple early turnovers deep in their territory, you know, results in 14 points. They lose by 5. You do the math. Winnable game would have them probably being talked, you know, just kind of like how they're talking about the Eagles. They would instead be talking about the Panthers as a true challenger for the NFC crown. Now, not so much. Good news is they head to Chicago to play a 2-4 Bears team. You know, I kind of wonder if the Bears would even win a game. So, but they face, you know, we face the guy we all love, John Fox. Old Fox. So, you know, they have some winnable games coming up. You know, let the good times roll. Let's see, I got a few callers out on the line. I'll jump over to you guys. Everyone want to get a chance to let us know how you feel. Let's see. You know, I failed to look back at last week's predictions. So we'll look at that. We've had some rosterbation going on. Some changes to the roster today. A little bit surprising. You know, you may have heard we dropped Brad. I got to have Kaya now. I don't know. I guess he's just getting beat out. That and, you know, Rivera even admitted that with a couple of teams losing quarterbacks, they were a little worried of losing the Gilbert. Graham Gilbert. What the hell is his name? Yeah. Which is just kind of surprising, but I guess I think they got something there. So we dropped old Brad Kaya and added, you know, as you know, Gilbert. So that's your why we're So worried about that third pick on the third spot on the depth chart. But hey, let's see, what did we pick last week? Of course, we all picked the Panthers to win. So yeah, looks like we're all in that GC. 30-23 was probably the pretty closest there. He's not far up. Definitely got the Panthers, right? 23 points. Not really. 28-23 versus 30-23. Anyway, that would have been 2 weeks in a row. But we'll get GC on the line here shortly. So like I said, Luke Kuechly still in concussion protocol. Sorry, I think maybe I had a concussion. No, I'm just dragging tonight. Stayed up late the last couple nights. But I'm going to power on through it, fellas and ladies. I'm going to power on through it. So we're still going to talk about the Bears game, state of the roster, and, of course, if we must, we'll talk about the Eagles' loss. You know, it was a good game. That's, you know, one thing you got to say about it. Good game. Sucked we lost. Should have won. But hopefully it'll be one of those learning games, and it'll come back to help us later down the road, right? Right. All right. Well, let's get old Goose Creek on the line. What's up, GC?
Evening, Jackson.
How's it going?
Everything's pretty good. Hated to see us lose when we had a chance to win that game. We got outplayed a little bit, but those turnovers killed us.
Yeah, the turnovers were killer, and, you know, it's... You can't necessarily blame any more than one of them on anybody. You know, the first one, you don't see Trey Turner get bull rushed like that very often. He got put on skates, collapsed the pocket, caused Newton's arm to get hit, interception. Second time, Jonathan Stewart, who's not the greatest pass catcher in the world. We all know this. But that's probably one of the worst attempts at a catch he's made, where he just basically shovels it right to the defender. You know, just lose your concentration for a section. Boom. Turnover. And then the third one, I'm not exactly what the hell happened on that one. It looks like Newton and KB were just not on the same page. KB broke off a route. Looked like Cam thought he was going to keep running, and the result was an easy pick by the safety.
Stewart was the one that killed me.
There you go.
What? I mean, you can't flip the ball up in the air. If you can't catch it, you can't flip it up in the air trying to do something with it.
Yeah. But they, you know, they had a couple players on both sides of the line that were just kicking our ass. You know, Fletcher Cox is a beast, whoever he was lined up on. I loved him when he was coming out of the draft. I wish he'd landed in Carolina. But, yeah, he had a fantastic game. Apparently he'd missed two games, so he was full of piss and vinegar when he came in there. And then on the other side, you know, Jason Peters always plays well, but that right guard just apparently had his way with star Tulele, which is unusual. I think Brandon Brooks. Eagles just have a good offensive line. That's, you know, the fact the Panthers still kept their running game in check for the most part.
They spend a lot of draft capital on those lines, too. They've got a lot of first and second rounders.
Yeah. Yeah.
The name you were trying to come up with earlier was Garrett Gilbert.
That's
the quarterback.
Oh, gee. Yeah. For some reason, every time I hear his name, I think Gilbert Grape. Sure why.
Yeah, or else you reverse it.
GG, and I'm like, Gilbert Grape? I'm like, no, Gilbert's his last name. Let's get some Gilbert.
Gilbert Garrett instead of Garrett Gilbert.
Garrett Gilbert, I think.
It's Garrett Gilbert is his name, but I said it's easy to swap him.
Yeah. Well, so I saw you're doing some research on the center position.
Yeah, how'd you like that?
I like it. Looking for the diamond in the rough. You seem to find one or two every season.
I've had pretty good luck with that. It's
you're saying Ryan Khalil might be back this week. I'm be happy about that if we get Ryan Khalil back in there.
I think it'll make a big difference. This is significant.
I hope so. The running game has just been atrocious. God, the running game
this is
horrible.
It dropped when in.
I want to say that's one of the worst rushing performances I've ever seen by the Panthers.
You can just say by anybody.
Yeah, you're right. It's like, God, man. I think I saw a tweet that Jonathan Stewart was averaging 4.5 inches per carry or something. And that might be giving him some, because for me, it looked like he was negative on the day.
I think they rounded up.
They were rounding it up. He needed the rounding error to make a positive impact. I mean, guys just getting hit behind the line. You can't really blame him. I think they said on 15 of 18 carries, he got hit behind the line. Like, shit. Or was that the week before? I think it's 2 weeks in a row we've sucked running the ball.
Yeah, last week was the same thing, but this week he was having to run around his own offensive linemen because they were getting jammed back into him before he could make that move, and he didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
Philadelphia defensive line had a heyday.
We did get out coached though. You make a good point. You mentioned that earlier. He, Rivera blew a couple timeouts, which would have been handy there at the end.
We need to talk about one of those.
Yeah.
One of those timeouts. I disagreed with the TV commentators and the narrative that's been going around, and I've seen a couple of people actually agree with me with some comments on the blog. But when they call the timeout, well, not call the timeout, when they contested whether Cam got into the end zone or not, and TV people were saying, oh, that's a waste of a timeout, you know, all that other. After Cam made his move and went flying through the air and hit the ground, he was slow getting up. He was not ready to go right into the huddle. So rather than call a timeout and let him get his head together, why not challenge the call? You might get it. You might not. It's going to cost you a timeout that you would have used anyway.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
I think that was the main reason they challenged it. If he had just jumped up and run to the huddle, they had a first down on the 6-inch line or whatever, they would have been fine. But when he was a little goofy, they were going to have to stop it anyway, so why not challenge it?
Yeah, would have the same effect. And who knows, you might get lucky. That makes a little sense there, GC. Damn. Look at you trying to bring common sense to the radio show.
It was an accident.
Here we're just.
I won't do it again.
Here we're just full of hot air and hyperbole, man, usually, so... All right, I guess we'll get off Rivera's jock for a second here. Like the offensive game plan, after looking like sheer damn geniuses the week before against the Lions, they look like, you know, utter idiots the following week. I just don't get that.
Well, how much game plan did they put in 2 days?
Well, that's true.
You know, they had a Sunday game, get Monday off to recuperate a little bit, maybe do some film and study like that, come in Tuesday, and you're not going to run them hard Wednesday for a Thursday night game.
Yep.
It was a...
There you go again.
Uh-oh. I said I wasn't going to do it again. Sorry.
You just one after the other, man. Reasonable point after reasonable point. Come on, man. I'm gonna have to get Parmenides on the line to get a little more.
Do you want a stupid point?
No, he want you to fire it up because I'm just shooting out.
Come on, let's talk about me rational here, right?
Well, watching the game. I will say the entirety of that game rested on the fact that Ryan Khalil wasn't in it. I think Tyler Larsen can't make the line calls that when you're talking about a 32-year-old center who's, you know, he's good at blocking and he does his stuff, but I think his main value is in the fact that he knows exactly how to set up the line, especially the interior of the line, to stop pressure. I mean, had he directed Trey instead of doing a direct block, because a lot of those Cox pressure was coming to the outside in the, I think that's the B gap, I don't know gaps well enough, whatever gap he was running through, and had Trey gone at an angle to allow the center to then double block him and get two men on him, then a lot of that pressure could have been negated. And so those two plays where he gets his arm hit and where he's got people where Newton had Newton had blockers and linemen in his face the entire game. So I think at least two of those interceptions wouldn't have happened. I think the run game would have been a heck of a lot better. And then I'm going to say that absolutely none of those interceptions were actually on Newton. Watching that last interception, that was completely on the receiver because he threw that ball before the break was made.
Yeah.
So he was making an absolute assumption that because I assume that was an option route where that the receiver had seen there was zero coverage and was going to make a break for the middle of the field.
I believe it was Benjamin.
Yeah, Benjamin. And was going to make a break for the middle of the field, and he knew where Benjamin would be at that point if he ran full out and threw it. But he made that throw before Benjamin made the break.
Yep.
So,
the risk and
you know,
that when, route. Yep.
So you see it, and you're like, why did he throw it in the middle of nowhere? Well, because he thought the receiver was going to be there.
Yeah.
And your point about Ryan Khalil not being in there, that was sort of the impetus for me to really start. I'd been looking at centers earlier, but I really tried to hone in on where we could get one during the draft. And I really didn't see anybody that I thought was going to be worth where they say they were projected. It's really not a good year for a center. But then I started looking at, you know, there's playing out of position, and that's where I went with that article, and I think I really found somebody that I'd be excited about.
And if he can sit for a year or two and really get, you know, the ability to do line calls, because I think that's functionally what Ryan Khalil is so good at, is he's able to sit there and tell all the other linemen exactly how to do it to negate that internal pressure, which is what Cam Newton really can't deal with. I mean, he can deal with it, but, you know, having somebody run up your gut the entire game is a hell of a lot more difficult than being able to walk out of the way of somebody being pushed around you on the edge.
And what you say is so true. It's like a little known gem is generally on a football team. Some of the most intelligent guys on that team are going to be on the offensive line. Offensive linemen have to be smart.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, where they placed Cox? Cox was always running on the outside edge of Trey.
Yeah.
And so it didn't give an opportunity. You know, the way he was blocking it didn't give an opportunity for the center to get involved. Which either meant that you needed to stick a running back in there to chip him or something, but I don't even think that would have been effective. Or that that you block him differently so that the center can get involved. Because I didn't see a heck of a lot of pressure from anybody else up the internal of the line.
Yeah. No, it was Fletcher Cox for the most part.
Yeah, once their middle linebacker went out.
Yeah, that Bradham, yeah. Who he played on lights out. He came back in though.
Very good.
Yeah.
But I think our run game is not near as bad. I mean, first of all, they were selling out on the run. You don't normally see defensive lines try to get internal pressure like that. During run plays, and the Lions did it too. They just sold out on the run, and we're like, Cam Newton, can you beat us with your arm? Or not Cam Newton, can you beat us with your arm? Can our really, really crappy receivers do what they need to do?
That's what they've been seeing the whole season. If you remember the New England Patriots after the game, some of their defensive players were complimenting Cam on saying, we didn't think you could beat us with the arm. We took away your run, and you beat us anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the other part is we just don't have the receivers. I mean, everybody wants to give credit, but, I mean, you watch our receivers, and they're just not very good.
I was thinking they had come
receivers,
a long way.
But it's sort of like Jake – Jackson and I have talked about this before. I have never said that Benjamin was a number one receiver. I say he's like a 1A or a 1B type receiver, you know, like a Usain Muhammad type. But he's not the stretch the game or get a lot of separation and reliable hands type of guy that you really want.
Yeah,
or any separation and reliable hands.
Exactly. You just have to live with
what he is. He can block out on a crossing route. He can do a good block out, but that's his most impressive route. But functionally, you know, and he did have one really good, you know, catch on an errant throw. But
yeah,
you know, Devin Funchess is coming along, but he's a good number two receiver who can find soft spaces in the zone, and catch a jump ball here and there. And then we got rookies the rest of the way.
Well, you got McCaffrey. He's really the number three receiver.
Samuels that hasn't shown anything yet.
Yeah, or Shepard. Yeah, Samuel's just run a few end arounds.
And that's all he's
Shepard
good for so far.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be that hard to run a nine route. Just run him on a streak route down the side of the and see if he can catch a couple balls.
I mean, McCaffrey's been so close to breaking one. It's bound to happen here sooner or later.
I mean, McCaffrey's is a great running back if we had an offensive line that could run block, an incredibly good slot receiver and receiver out of the backfield, but he's not one to blow the top off a defense. He's not fast enough for that.
Yeah. That's what Samuel should provide eventually. just taking him some time.
Well, I hated the Samuels pick when it was made. I didn't think he was there, but, you know, some other people shouted me down saying he just had too many people in front of him, but I didn't see the where he'd really done anything until that his year before the draft. Before that, he hadn't produced a whole lot. He had one good year on a team with a lot of talent that he wasn't getting a lot of attention and coverage because he'd never done anything.
So, I mean, one criticism of Shula is that he doesn't game plan correctly for the players, and I think some of that's correct. Some of it is we just never actually had the skill player talent. I mean, heck, half of the 2015 MVP was everybody went, he has no receivers and a tight end and has somehow scored 35 touchdowns.
Who's this?
Cam.
Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Throwing
yeah.
like 50 touchdowns with his running, or I don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean it was.
Well,
well
his 45
I mean,
completely.
Is the rest of the rest of the NFL was going, that offense shouldn't work at all. Shouldn't work.
Philadelphia
yeah,
still
but
saying
it was
that
his
they
running
got to,
was the difference.
To eke out a win.
Yeah, and his running was the difference against the Eagles. We would have lost that game big time if he had started running the ball. You know, I got a feeling we're going to see more of that.
Yeah, I think he's back. I mean, we've had enough discussions on it where he gets hurt more in the pocket than anywhere else. And him running, especially if he'll actually slide, is not particularly dangerous for him.
Of course, he gets hit when he slides, and they don't call anything anyway.
That was a fair call. He slid real late into that process.
Yeah.
Of course, if he was Tom Brady, he would have gotten that call.
Exactly. Let's see. So
yeah, and
this
how
is
about
the first time.
It's always happened.
Go ahead.
All the crying about the Patriots not getting any calls. What happened to them against the Jets? That was so much a touchdown for the Jets.
Oh, yeah. I don't get that whole, you got to, if you're running the ball, this whole got to control it all the way through, whatever. As soon as you break the plane, that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, no, that is
all that shit
always been.
And it went from one hand to the other hand before he even touched the pylon. There was a gap in the air, but he had the other hand on
chip.
The ball when he hit the pylon.
I think we could easily stick an RFID chip into the ball, and it crosses the plane, and a little light shows up, and we can get rid of all of this stuff.
I like that. You'd have to put it all around the ball, but yeah. I mean, they already make a ball. I got one of the footballs with a chip in it here at the house. You can get the app on your phone, and it tells you how fast you're throwing it and shit. Hell yeah.
No, this stuff is not complicated.
You're right.
We have the technology. We can build it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I guess on the good news is since the first time since Pepper's rookie season that he's averaged a sack a game. He had 12-12 as a rookie, and he's got 6.5 in six games.
Must have been a little short guy.
Yeah. That was a Drew Brees sack. You only get half. Any chance to make fun of Drew Brees, right?
I'm all in favor of it.
Yeah. And how funny is it that, you know, they wouldn't give Adrian Peterson the ball in there, and then he goes first game up in Arizona and rips off 118 and a touchdown. Oh, Saints.
Well, the whole idea
Sean is an offensive genius in the Saints.
Yeah, that's
well,
it.
Sean is an offensive genius insofar as he's had Drew Brees, and the and his offensive genius is let Drew Brees throw the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a genius.
You don't actually have to be in Mensa to come up with something like that, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but in spite of our loss, the biggest, you know, we did get a present this weekend, and that was the Falcons blowing a 17-point lead to the Dolphins.
Damn, bad luck.
I was like, shit. And the next thing I look is like it's tied. I'm like, what the hell?
They ever done that before? Lost one like that?
I'm trying to think. When was it? Let's see.
There may have been a point where they were up 25.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah. The other team had like 3 points.
Yeah.
I seem to remember some random game
Abbott
like that.
Glad they're getting into.
Oh, I was just
rinse and repeat. Do it again.
Rinse and repeat. I was.
They keep hiring
just reading
these amazing defensive coaches, and somehow can't produce defenses.
One of the myths that's been dispelled is that the Falcons have gotten over their Super Bowl loss. I don't think so.
They just had a relapse, if nothing else.
Well. Oh, yeah, Jay Ajayi ran all over them. So, Falcons are 3-2. The Panthers, in spite of the loss, stay in first in the NFC South. And we head to Chicago. So, I like the hell out of that.
I think this is the time where we could actually get an interception or two.
Yes.
A rookie quarterback who's better than the other option, Mr. Longneck. But he's still a rookie quarterback who he probably needs a year or two before he's – I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but he's going to have to take a year or two of being the kind of crappy quarterback before he figures it out. He's got all the tools. He just hadn't played enough.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we got going for us is John Fox.
True.
Have you looked at what the Bears have done this year?
They're
4-2 or 2-4. They won 2, lost 4. Both games they won in overtime. So John Fox is playing it close to the vest, just like always.
Okay.
He didn't want to reveal too much of the playbook until the second half of the season, you know.
Sometimes a punt is a good play.
So they're going to try and run. They're going to try and run the ball. They've got a pretty good defense. It's not a world beater, but it's a John Fox defense. And we can't pretend that he didn't produce some pretty good defenses for us.
Kind of bend but don't break type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. He doesn't have Julius Peppers.
No.
Oh, man.
Or Rucker.
Looking at the NFC
fatties in the middle.
South schedule, you know, that what we, you know, the Falcons are at the Patriots. Again, that's ringing a bell, too. It seems like we've seen this matchup before.
I wonder if Robert Kraft's going to be sober this time.
I honestly wouldn't half mind the Falcons going up there and just wiping their ass all over the field. But I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. What do you guys think? I think the over-under is 55 on that game. Over-under is 55. It's pretty damn high. It'd probably be the same thing for the Saints at the Packers if not for Aaron Rodgers. I wish he'd have waited one more week before breaking his car. Oh, I better not say that too loud. My wife might hear me. She's still crying her beer.
Well, you know, it really is an advantage for them with only coming out this week that, you know, he got hurt. By the time we play him like week 15 or something. So
yeah,
there'll be
we
more.
We play him like right before Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they'll be more in tune with playing without him, but right now they're going to be in shambles. Saints ought to walk all over.
Their defense is entirely predicated on getting a lead and then rushing the passer.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they have much of a rush defense. And if Aaron Rodgers isn't in there, I mean, who's their backup quarterback?
Brett Hundley.
I think we will have lots of tape on Brett the Hundley.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on with down in Tampa Bay? Is he going to play?
Who, Winston?
Yeah.
I think he's day-to-day with that shoulder injury. Yeah,
they
got to
play
really,
at Buffalo. So they got a pretty tough game.
Yeah, that's a tough game for them. I'm thinking the Bills on that one. Let me see what the line is. I looked at this once already. I want to say the Bills are getting 3 points or giving up three. But, yeah, so the NFC South, the other three games would have been tough anyway if Rodgers hadn't gone down. I think the Falcons can beat the Patriots. The Saints went from 6-point underdogs to 6-point favorites with the Aaron Rodgers injury.
I would be good. I might give them the 6 points because, like I said, you have to think that Green Bay is in shambles and they're just – you know, scrambling to put something together for a game plan.
Yeah. Definitely. They're just an average team without Rodgers. With the Bucs at the Bills, I could see a loss there. The Saints will probably win. The Falcons could win. So, like I said, we definitely have the easier draw this week.
I mean, in all honesty, getting Khalil back is going to make life infinitely easier. I think he's the glue of that line. I mean, even when we were getting beat on the line, we were never getting beat up the middle.
Okay, the Vegas line is off on the Bucs versus the Bills. That's probably because Winston's status is up in the air.
Yeah,
they're not even betting on it.
Let's see. We play the Bears next. I still think that's going to win. I don't think they can get enough offensive production to make a difference. Who do we play next after that?
Tampa Bay.
We're
and then Atlanta.
Yeah, we're at Tampa. Then Atlanta
and
at
then
home.
Miami. Yeah, we're at Tampa, and then we're home against Atlanta and home against Miami. And then we go into our bye week. And that's where we may be getting Olsen back.
Yep. Yeah, I might tell you
what.
We ought to be getting
200
Olsen
yards
back
a game
Miami
and still
to
get
practice.
1,000 yards.
And then get the bye week, so he'll be back after the bye to play against the Jets.
I mean, these next four games are looking winnable. I just, even a week ago, I would have thought, you know, hell to go 2-2, but the Bucs, particularly if Jameis Winston is lingering and, you know, misses any more time, But we can certainly win in Chicago. We could beat the Bucks down there. And I think we can handle the Falcons. I don't know. Of course, we're freaking 1-2 at home this season. What's up with that? But, you know, the Falcons
randomness
certainly aren't what they were last year. Yeah. Well, tough games. You're right. And the Dolphins team, who knows? I mean, they were just awful, but suddenly looked good against the Falcons. But even to just go 3-1 there, and then when we come out of the break, we got the Jets. They're tough at home, man. I wouldn't overlook that game. The Jets are tough at home. Then we got to go to New Orleans. Then the Vikings at home, and going then the Packers, which I think their season will be over by then. And you know, we could be sitting pretty well there going into our final two games, with maybe just having to win one of those to clinch the division, hopefully.
Yeah, well, we've got to figure out a way to beat the Saints.
Yeah, but that's my homerific prediction. I
the
could
Saints
see...
finally got an average defense. This is not good.
Yeah, 1-2. I think homerific is 10-6. Very doable at this point. Very doable.
Yeah, and if we beat the Falcons, we beat the Bucks. In the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that's the
and
problem.
I think that's
is
doable.
That outside of the Vikings game, our toughest games are in the damn division.
Yep.
You know, outer division games look tough at this point, except for the Vikings, and they don't even have their quarterback. I don't know what Bradford's and whether he's going to come back or not.
I read that Eddie might be coming back, Bridgewater, but he'll be rusty. But by then, he ought to have the rust shaken off. He might come in and play pretty well. Bridgewater,
he definitely will. He add a division, dimension to the offense they haven't had.
I mean, Bridgewater's an average quarterback. Their other quarterback who you just mentioned, former Rams quarterback.
Bradford.
Yeah, Bradford.
Sam Bradford.
Bradford's actually an incredibly good quarterback. I mean, he throws it short all the time, but
he's very accurate.
The fact that he can throw it. Yeah, he's incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do the Smith routine, where he just throws it behind the sticks and lets other players make the play.
Yeah.
Bradford had a scary pop on getting hurt. He's been brutal.
But he's got a bone bruise. And I read a tweet by a guy who had a bone bruise, and he was like, yeah, it looks like a case of feels better, and then he put a lot of stress on it and went, nope.
Yeah.
Bone bruises can feel better until you start trying to run around, and then they stop feeling better.
Yeah. All right, I see we got Josh in line. What's up, Josh?
What's going on?
There's another voice of reason for you there, Jack.
Yeah, here's my voice of reason. Yeah, you didn't pick the Eagles to win, though, either. So maybe you'll do better this time.
No,
what's your thought?
I feel like the old Mike Shula. I was giving him a couple good weeks, but the old Mike Shula reared his ugly head.
Yeah.
I mean, good God, how many times are you running the ball on first down? It's ridiculous.
Old habits are hard to break, man. Hard break. Run on first down, play action on second. Hopefully you're at third and one. And then you can do an ISO power left or right. Move chains.
You talking about Stewart? I had him on my fantasy team. Minus four.
He got minus one on the day, right?
Minus four is what his score was. Minus four.
Oh, minus four. My God, how do you do that on 15 carriers or whatever it was? That's just crazy. Dude took a pounding. Yeah. He said he had elusive. Yeah, he's probably still had elusiveness rating of 120. He shook like 14 tackles and still lost 4 yards. We think, but it could have been so much worse. He could have lost 30.
Yeah.
So on the day.
Going back to the camp touchdown.
The non-touchdown or the actual touchdown?
Did y'all not think that was clearly obvious a touchdown? I just didn't understand
did
what they were seeing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looked
good
like it went right over the pylon to me. Yeah.
I thought that was an atrocious call. I was like, even they reviewed it, I was like, how do you get – I mean, I know it's confirmed, but, it just – or the Colin Field stands, but I don't know. It was just
I think New York dialed in and said, "Take that away from Cam."
Mm-hmm.
Dialed in.
Same ones that said we can't let the Jets beat New England.
Yeah, that was pretty bad too.
I did win that bet though. I took the Jets in the 9 points. They covered. It was close, though. Let's see. I got old Cat on the line. Let me open his. What's up, Cat? Oh, wait, hold on. There we
go. What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good.
Good, man.
Good.
You get to watch the game?
I did. I got to watch it.
Sorry.
I got a. Yeah. I was expecting you to make the right score prediction, Goose. I really appreciate you getting that all messed up.
Law of averages struck me down.
That's right. I missed like the first 15 or 20 minutes of the show. I didn't know if y'all had said anything about Luke or not.
Just that he's in the protocol, but... we've had some conflicting reports and just not really getting an idea of how bad of a concussion it was. And I don't know, it seems kind of hard to evaluate at the outset. But you got some information?
Well, no, I just – my buddy a couple of days ago, he had got an alert notification saying that Schefter – Adam Schefter had put out something where he didn't actually have a concussion. But then Steve Drummond, our relations guy, come out and said that he actually did have a concussion or he's still in the protocol, whatever. I just hate that they're so secretive about it. And I understand the backlash that Rivera has gotten, why he's like a recluse when it comes to it. Just be open and honest about it. You know what I mean? And then, let everything else, work itself out. I just hate not knowing because I feel for the guy.
Well, you know what the funny thing on that is that I believe Ron Rivera is really being truthful when he says, I don't know when the doctors tell me that he can play again or he can do this again, he will be back. Because Ron doesn't want to know. He got burned on that his first year, if you remember, and he'll never do that again.
I can buy that. Yeah, I mean, I definitely could.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember which player it was, but you can't play doctor out there. The doctors will make you look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading.
I don't even need a doctor. I feel like that anyway.
What was that, Josh?
Yeah, I was reading some of those reports too. That, you know, I don't know. He didn't come out. No one's come out and said that he had a concussion. I mean, you know, he's in the protocol. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of frustrating as fans because, you know, if he did have a concussion, then I'm worried, really real worried about his career, you know.
I wouldn't mind knowing what the guidelines are for going into protocol, because if they're so, like, they've even changed the rules about, okay, mm-hmm. if there's no more probable tags anymore. It's all either questionable or doubtful, right, or out. You know, those are the three tags that you get each week. And I think a lot of that has to do with fantasy football, if you want to be completely honest. But nobody's ever really said anything about any guidelines as to what being in the protocol means. I know there's steps that you take to get out of it, but do you necessarily have to have a concussion to be in it? So that's what I'm wondering.
No, you don't. All it has to be is that independent doctor on the sidelines to say that he is not convinced that he doesn't have a concussion. And with somebody like Kuechly that's had a history of concussions, he may be a little quicker to say, I'm not sure. That has to come into play, you know. He's like
that's
everybody else affected by that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So when they go into protocol, they do not have to have a concussion. There just has to be the doctor saying that he's not concussed.
Yeah.
You know, he certainly didn't have the reaction like he had in the previous concussions. He looked fine. I thought maybe he'd actually hurt his shoulder or his neck.
That's what I thought, Jackson.
Yeah, I thought the same thing,
huh?
Too.
Yeah, and so
that's what I was saying. That's what
he was
I thought,
over and he
yeah.
was talking, and he had the little net thing around his neck, too, when it happened. So I'm kind of hoping that thing did actually serve a purpose and lessen the effects, of the concussion. But we haven't really heard anything.
Well, if you look at that hit on the replays, he even got hit by a shoulder pad to the side of the helmet before he hit the ground and bounced his head.
Yeah.
So neither one of them looked terribly impressive, but when you got 300-pound lineman hitting you inside the head with his shoulder pad,
yeah,
that's got to be notable.
Yeah, no doubt. But it didn't really look like a concussion at all. When they took him in the back and they said he's evaluating for a concussion, I was like, a concussion? That's strange. I thought it was going to be a shoulder injury or neck or something. So.
Yeah, I agree with
you.
He kind of looked like he was a little pissed, too, because, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there was somebody on the blog that was sitting right above the tunnel. I forgot who it was, but they said that they heard him, and he was, like, real pissed as he was walking through the tunnel. It was on our blog.
It was. I've seen a couple people talk about that. Yeah, said he was, like, just really pissed off, like he didn't want to come out.
Right.
Well,
but in other good news, I was listening to the Panthers podcast just a little while ago, and, you know, the Bears are number three and overall, like, the total defense, and we're number one in the NFC. That's pretty good. Well, both of us in the NFC, but we're number one and they're number three, so I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for sure.
No, I don't expect it to be a cakewalk, but I do think that, especially with the rookie at quarterback, that our defense should be able to hold them down pretty well.
I just want us to start getting some turnovers. You know, that's what our defense is lacking this year.
Well, I think we're due, and this would be a good week for it. Good week to stream the Panther defense. What do you think there, Cat?
Yeah, for sure. this is a great week because, you know what, you're absolutely right. It's going to come in bunches, and, I mean, this could be the game where we get three of them. So, entirely possible.
And then we get John Old Foxy in his post-game interview and just saying, well, it is what it is. So,
yeah. That'd be good.
Have anything to say except, hey, Julius, want to come back to Chicago? Yeah. Or maybe Foxy be talking to JR over there, get on his little golf cart and say, come on, man, you brought the rest of the band back together. You got Herney and Peppers. Just bring old Foxy back. No.
Buff up those shocks on that golf cart.
You see, he's Richardson.
He's not as rotund as to be Foxy.
No, he's not. He's lost weight, actually.
Yeah.
But you see, Richardson is one of the coaches or one of the owners that is not going to the meeting, the owner's meeting, because he just doesn't want to engage in this whole kneeling controversy.
Is that why he's not going?
That's what they said on the Observer.
That's cool. And
it's not health related. It's not health related. He's feeling great. But they're just speculating that he's very pissed off that the league is even entertaining, you know, having a meeting to discuss, you know, what the government is, you know, telling us how to treat our players, which is, you know, I kind of give him props for that.
I can understand it. I even can agree with it. That's sort of like I said when Peppers did his not coming out onto the field until after the anthem. I thought that was a perfect way to handle it. It was a statement without interrupting anybody. And after the game, he got to go to the press conference and explain what he did.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like they were hiding anything. He got to have his time in the spotlight and say what he wanted to say, but he didn't interrupt the process of the game. But that's just me. I'm an old fart.
Well, you know, it's America. We believe in free speech, and, you know, as protests go, I think it's pretty pretty mild way. And you know, it seems to be – well, actually, I'd like – I give props to the NFL for their response, saying that, yeah, the part of the meeting was not just only talking about how to respond, but also to respond to – what they're actually protesting about and to see how they can help, you know, improve, you know, help further the cause that they're trying to do. I'm like, okay, finally, you know, somebody's going to actually listen to.
I was kind of amused by some of the news coming out of there, like with some of the players saying that they thought that Colin Kaepernick should have been invited. Well, why should he be invited when he's not in the NFL right now?
Good point. Of course, he's suing them for that, too.
Yeah, so let's go over and hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, well, it does seem strange that he doesn't still have a job with as many quarterbacks that are hurt in the league right now. You know, he's probably just as good as Jacoby Brissett in Indianapolis.
You know, Chubb's using the Brissett just like Cam, by the way. I just want to say that. That Indy game, it really looked like he was using him just like Cam. I kind of liked it. Not using the tight ends the same, but
yeah,
thought it looked pretty cool.
So, GC, you really think Olsen can be back by after the bye week?
I think so.
I think he did start
bye week.
Yeah, his recovery is going well. Said it's healing up nicely, so there is that.
It would be nice to have him back. I'm not counting on a lot of 175-yard receiving days from Dixon. Hello?
Hello, sorry. Reading an email
okay.
that I got.
We left you,
I put everybody to sleep.
Don't do that. I'm just finally awake. Oh, I was up too late the last two nights. Too damn old for that. Getting up too early.
You gotta quit all that.
I got
my
number
kinky.
Here. I don't. Yeah. Kinky, what?
You can't do all that kinky stuff all night like you used to.
Yeah, that's it. I keep trying now.
You put on a Green Bay outfit right now with a 12 jersey, you might make it.
Yes. She just walked by a little while ago, and I had to be real quiet then. And then mute my phone. Make sure y'all, one of y'all didn't blurt out something like, "Oh, we're gonna kill the Packers." You know, we have tickets to that game. And she bought them out of her paycheck, and it was like $350 for two tickets. So she's been all excited up until now. Now it's, yeah, she's like,
"That's how you know things are serious."
My season's over.
She buys the tickets.
You know, it's shit serious when she buys them.
That's right. Yeah. If anybody's wife buys tickets, it's game on. True story.
Yeah, my guy on the Packers team is gone now. Quentin Rollins got hauled, carted off the field the other day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, let's see. I'll open up one more line here, 336-402, if you care to join the call. I'll just leave the line open. I see you don't have any background noise.
Hi, this is
Who's
Stephen
that?
Myrtle Beach. Stephen Myrtle Beach, at Shepherd
hey,
on the website. Hey, a little cold here at the beach, but still a good place to be. I have a few notes because I was listening to everybody. First, I hope we can kick Fox's butt really good because it's all his fault that we don't know if Armani Edwards could ever play a real game in football. So it was all those years of fighting was all due to Fox, you know, not playing that last game. And that's what I have against Fox, among other things. Right? And I was reading the Focaholic blog, and boy, they're down in their team worse than we are in our team. So they believe in the curse now, I think, too, which is I'm loving it. Okay, and I never really would believe that the Ryan Kittle injury would be more important than the Greg Olsen injury in the way it affected our team, it seems.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think we're getting we're surviving good without Greg, but I think our line just needs some coherency, and Ryan Kittle was great for that, really. So you need a good center. We always take it for granted, right? We take Ryan Kittle for granted all these years, and now we realize. No, what we don't have, but we don't have him.
Good point. And
okay.
I'm sure his brother Matt's way ready for him. Yep.
Matt, I'm still mixed on. Once in a while, he looks good, but then the next minute, he's not looking good. So I don't know what's up in Matt. He's got the skills, but I don't know where the head is at sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about the team. They're looking good. I think they lost as a group basically last week, so I'm not too worried about them. And I just think they're missing by inches, like everybody says. I really think we're right on the edge of really doing some good things. And, I think Green Bay's on the way out, so I think we have a lot of good victories ahead of us. And I noticed one more thing that, Cam Newton gets clobbered, and nobody cares, but Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, and now suddenly everybody's talking about protecting the quarterback suddenly. It's like, just like Tom Brady nonsense, you know?
Yep.
Because he's the league's darling, Aaron Rodgers. And my last point I want to make is that I've always been a shoeless fan, but lately his calling has been kind of atrocious. And of course, time management is not good at all with Rivera. It's never been. And why did we kick a field goal?
Yeah.
We have time to try it. And so, I mean, these little things are what's, I think, hurting us. You know, I think the coaching is not quite there. And the players are not quite there, but we're so close to making things happen, though, in my opinion, at least.
Well, that's some good points there, Steve. Maybe I'll let you lead off with our predictions for the Chicago game.
I think we're going to look really good. I think the offense is going to be there. We're going to get some good turnovers. I think we're going to win like 38 to maybe 21.
38-21 Panthers.
Yeah, I think we're gonna. I think we're gonna bust down everything. I think we're right on the edge. Cam's gonna just do some great stuff. They're gonna focus on the run against us, and we're gonna go back to the passing game. It's gonna be like Detroit's offense. We're gonna look a lot better, I'm sure.
All right. Well, that's a good way to start. Anyone else ready? Josh, Kat, GC.
Yeah, 17-27
Panthers for Goose Creek.
27-17. All right. Kat?
I'm going to go 17-24.5. Is that fair? Well, because McCaffrey's going to score again, and he's short. So, I mean, if you get a half a sack for hitting Drew Brees, you get a half a sack for McCaffrey or a half a score for McCaffrey. No,
well,
I just
are you using your 10-point rule? You're using your 10-point rule, aren't you? So
what's the over-under on that?
40.5. You're close because you got 31.5 points.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, no. That's 40, 41. No, you're right at it. So let's see. I'm going to go with you. I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game. So if it's 30 points total, right? Then isn't that what your rule was? It's either it's going to be 10 points under the over under or 10 points over?
Yeah. Usually when the scores go, like if it's 40 points total, usually if it goes under, it's usually by 10 points on average. If it goes over, it's usually 10 points over on average. And that's off a five-year span worth of studies.
So 30 points, that seems, I mean, 40 is actually kind of low. And just because that's my initial reaction, I'm usually wrong. So it's probably going to be 50 points scored. So let's do... 34-16 Panthers.
And if you remember what I was telling you a little bit earlier, that in the NFC, Carolina is ranked number one in total defense, and they're number three. I don't expect Trubisky to try to lose the game by throwing a lot. I think they're going to run a lot and run off the clock. I mean, 40 is a very good total overall. But that's your area. That's what you're good at. But I just know that's what those stats
are.
Oh,
I crapped out last week on my three-team parlay. Usually when I miss it, it's just one, but I missed two of them last week. So, but I don't know. I think I'm liking the over on that. 40.5 is kind of low, but yeah. I mean, I could see like a 16-9 slugfest.
Panthers blog. Panthers blog. Oh,
21-9. It could be 21-9. That would be the under score. So if we go under 40, it's going to be 21-9. If we go over 40, it's going to be 34-16.
I like it. We're testing your theory.
I think I like the sound of 21-9, man. I could see them kicking 3 field goals all day long. I really could.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do want to say this. I do think, and I know Josh still has to give his prediction too, but as far as the AFC, I still think that the Chiefs are the class of the division, and the NFC, I think already Philadelphia's kind of proven it now, especially with Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. But the fact that we just lost that game with 4 captains out, man, I like our chances. It was so easy for me to be down after that game, but I was like, man, we are really missing a lot of studs.
Yeah.
And Jack, can I give you props? Didn't you write that article about we still had a chance to win that game?
Yeah.
That was a good article. You know, for as many mistakes as we had, it was, you know, 2 opportunities to win the game. I can't be mad at it.
When you look at, you know, like it was really the PFF grades that they looked at the individual performances and they were just like, God, how were we even in this game? We were getting dominated. It seemed like that they had 7 players that graded out having good games and we had 1. Plus we turned the ball over. You know, we gave away 14 points and still had a chance to win the damn game. You know, could have done pulled a 2015 comeback. And, the play calling went to shit right there on that last series where we, you know, what the fuck? We're 3rd-and-1 in 4 down territory and we throw the ball to the perimeter twice. You know, I could see you doing that when you got 20 seconds left and you need 15 yards or something, but it's 3rd-and-1.
Right.
There's still 1.5 minutes on the damn clock. I get that you're out of timeouts, but you still, you get the first down and then you spike the damn ball and go to 2nd down. There are just a number of little nuances in that game that, you know, the turnovers were all different scenarios, but just the little nuance. And then the wasted timeouts, even though GC made a good point about that one timeout maybe not being, you know, for losing it to the challenge was probably just a timeout. But there was still just some poor clock management, as somebody mentioned. I think that was Parm. Of course, he had to bail off the line, I see now. I tell you, last week was a crazy, you know, I think 3 weeks ago it was crazy, but you know, the home teams, the visiting teams were 8-2.
You remember I mentioned that last week, Jackson, I said that the records of, visitors on Thursday night, all of them have won except for one. I don't even remember who that was.
I saw something they said. No, it was the underdogs were 8-2. That's what it was. It wasn't the home team. I'm looking now. The home teams went 6-8. It was the underdogs went 8-2 last week. But yeah, I went 5-9.
I was just referencing the Thursday night games. The teams that were playing at home were like 1-4. So the teams that were coming to play the people at home on Thursday, so the visitors had the advantage. They were like 4-1, and so now 5-1. I don't know if you remember me saying that or not. So, but regardless, those 2 turnovers, they got 15 points, and it only took them 17 yards to get 15 points because, you know, they went for 2 on that one. So, that you can't win against a team like that when they get 10 points and it only takes them 17 yards to get it. You can't beat anybody in NFL. I don't care who it is.
Yeah,
maybe the Browns.
So,
okay.
Only one team, one of us picked the Eagles to win. Nobody picked the Dolphins to beat the Falcons. One person picked the Bears to beat the Raiders. This is out of 12 people. Nobody picked the Vikings to beat the Packers. Of course, you can't predict Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. I was one of three that picked the Rams over the Jags. Or four, actually. And then nobody picked, I mean, come on, who would have guessed Pittsburgh after Ben said, maybe I just don't have it anymore. I don't know, was he psyching himself out? I just can't believe they beat the Chiefs. Of course, they just had the Chiefs number, apparently. Have to remember that. And then nobody picked the Giants to go into Denver and win. That's what the hell.
Yeah, nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, there was just some real head scratchers in this game this week.
This whole year has been a head scratcher.
Yeah, there's a lot of parity in the NFL this year. Yeah, the most correct picks was six. I see 1-7-7. Let's see, old Durst. Shit, a blind nut found a squirrel. For old Durst there, 7-7 on the week. All right, well, Josh, did we get your prediction?
I think somebody already guessed it. Mine was 24-17.
Well, I said 24.5 technically, so... You can take
Well, if this was The Price is Right, you might lose. You went over 24.5. All right. Let's see. We got 12 minutes left. We covered all the topics. We did a little rosterbation today. We moved some people around. As I already mentioned, drop Brad. Got to have Kaya now. And brought in a linebacker. I never heard of him, so I don't expect much out of him. Let's see. What's this guy's name? Andrew Gachkar. Oh, we brought back Dirty Sanchez and Jalen Simmons. They're back on the practice squad. So the whole, wow, we have four quarterbacks on the roster, that was answered pretty quickly.
Yeah. Bigger question with that was, did they bring Kai in to begin with?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Who's got the ambulance in the background?
Oh, not here in Myrtle Beach.
They were at your house, Jackson.
Is that Myrtle Beach?
Jackson. Yeah. I'm outside. It's quieter out here. It was. Yeah, remember, but they all said that we kept saying it would take a long time for the offense to get together, maybe half a season. So maybe we should be a little more patient and get all the pieces back in there and everything. Because Samuel, we don't know what he can do. He's missed a lot of time. Cam took time. So I really feel optimistic about our team and going into the future. And if we lose to the Bears, then I'm going to think about that hard, though. No. The Bears.
I appreciate you calling in, Steve. It's been a while. Yeah, I appreciate you calling in. So, I guess we could talk a little fantasy here. Look at the cat with he's the high score for the week in CSR1 because fantasy all.
I thought you were talking about. Brett Favre jersey for a minute there. Getting into your fantasy.
Yeah, my fantasies. those ain't fantasies, man. If I put on the Brett Favre jersey, that's going to be reality. Some things you just got to pull out for special occasions.
Yeah.
So, Kat, you're 3-3, man. But high score for the week. Nice week there, man.
Thank you, man. That's how I roll, buddy. That's how I roll.
Melvin Gordon, man, what a breakout he had. Ass. 35.
You probably would have done better if you would have played somebody that wasn't on a bye.
I didn't.
Right. I don't have six leagues to keep up with. So I ain't mad at you, buddy. Just do that against me, please.
Hey, I still won. I still put up 127
points. Did you really?
Even though, yeah. And it was actually Jeremy Maclin was a late scratch. He was out, so he wasn't on a bye. That's like the greatest sin of fantasy football is not changing your lineup and losing a guy to a bye. I try to avoid those. Yeah. But I see the future greatest kicker of all time had another good week. So
sure did, didn't he?
Well, yeah, pretty good. I was looking to see where he's at on
me. He hasn't missed since.
Nope. Of course, for real, though, the old Carolina kicker, Gamecock kicker, Suckup, he's going for the record. Or he set the
Mr.
record.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Set the record. Yeah, and Mr. Irrelevant, right. Didn't he just set the record for consecutive kicks? Yeah, I believe so. Like it's 40-something. Going back to last season, he's kicked. He's made inside the 50. That was the caveat. Inside the 50, he's made 40-something kicks in a row, something like that. Mr. Consistency.
I didn't know he was Mr. Irrelevant. That's pretty cool.
Yep,
yeah.
Sure was.
Hey, man,
yeah,
if I'm
cool.
going to get drafted in the seventh round, I might as well just be the last guy. At least I get a damn parade out of it, right? Get to go be the toast of the town and have a party.
Isn't that crazy to think, like, even with the practice squad players and stuff, there's, what, 15 to 1,800 NFL players right now, and there's 7 billion people in the world. That puts that in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. They truly are the cream of the crop, the best of the best.
Yeah. You're the worst player. I've always said this, even going up against like baseball players. I played semi-pro softball, and you could take people that were cut by like I played it with Ray Durham's younger brother. Phenomenal athlete. I mean, much better than I could have ever been. And he played for a little bit in the pros, or he was on like the minor league teams, the AAA teams. But he's probably better than anything that I could have ever been. You know what I mean? And I was good. I mean, I used to get paid to play. But it just puts in perspective, like, these athletes that make it to the big leagues, I mean, it's amazing. So much, it just takes so much talent to get there.
Yeah, and it's not just size and strength and speed and all the measurables. It requires so much more than that. I tell you what, I was a little depressed and after that loss, but I want to say yesterday or day before. I tell you what turned it around for me, though, is I watched the Sam Mills Football Life. It's only an hour. But I'll tell you what, I hadn't watched that in so long. It was good. And I think that should be like a mandatory viewing for all Panther fans. If you've never seen the Sam Mills Football Life, you got to see it. But I mean, I just remember him being short and all that, but I just didn't, I had kind of didn't have the appreciation for the fact that the dude was only 5'9". He was, you know, he was about the size of Captain Munnerlyn to height-wise. But, you know, he's 240, and they said, you know, 200 pounds of it was below the waist. And one of the guys said that he had, what do you call it? He said he had the biggest 6-inch pop of any player he's ever seen. You know, like if, you know, they do that, you ever played a game with a 1-inch punch or something, you know, from 6 inches out, or maybe it's a 1-foot punch or pop or something. But yeah, the dude could just hit people no matter how short, the fact that he was short. They said, well, you know, in the game of football, it's all about leverage and who gets pounded, whose pads. And they're like, well, Sam was already low to the ground, so he always won that battle. But it's an inspiring video. Have all y'all seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm sure you had, GC. I was tweeting out some of the sayings. I don't know if any of y'all follow me on Twitter this weekend, but you might have wondered what the hell was going on with me. I kept tweeting shit about Sam Mills. Yeah. But it was just, there was some things these guys were saying. Let's see. Go ahead, and since we got a few minutes here, Kevin Green, you know, said it was the hardest collision I ever heard on the football field. This is Kevin Green describing when Sam Mills tackled Ironhead Haywood for a loss when he played for the Falcons. He had a head of steam come up trying to get a 3rd-and-1, and Sam Mills stoned him. Jim Mora, whenever you consider everything on the field and off the field, Sam Mills is the best player I ever coached. Bobby Hebert, if you have an issue with Sam Mills, you need to look in the mirror because you were probably in the wrong. Talking about he's such a good guy. You know, he's such a sweet guy and a nice guy off the field that he's like, I can't imagine anyone having a problem with him. And my favorite Sam Mills coach, quote, I always want to be the first to know how bad I am and the last to know how good I am.
Oh, that's good.
Ain't that? That's good.
I haven't seen it yet, and I know I agree with you, man. I think it should be mandatory for every hardcore fan, or even any fan for that matter. But I know I saw a clip about
every new player. Every new player comes on the team, they should say, you know, on their little checklist of, yeah, you filled out your W-2, you know, you got all these forms filled out, you gave you your locker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now you need to go in this room over there and watch this video for an hour, and then there's a quiz.
That's right. This is orientation. But...
well, you know, they have something like that. They have something like that for the Panthers. Had one of the rookies this year talk about when they came in, they talked to him about Sam Mills and they show him some films and stuff so they understand to keep pounding.
Yep. But it had a good piece on the Dome Patrol you know, back when the Saints actually, you know, for that period of time that they were good, it was when they had the four linebackers that all made the Pro Bowl the same year. Vaughn, Pat Swilling, who's the Georgia Tech guy that I actually went to school with, and we were at Tech the same years, and then Ricky Jackson. And they were damn good back then. And then, you know, the Saints went in the shithole right after they broke up those guys. They were all leaving the team. And then Sam came to the expansion Panthers, and you could make an argument that the whole damn reason we were good early is because we had Sam Mills as the leader of the team. I mean, there's certainly, yeah, it's a team sport, but he was the heart and soul of his team while he played, and then even as a coach. But let's see, the recording just ended, and I didn't even do a wrap-up there. But
Anyway, but you know what was interesting? Sam Mills and the Carolina was when they had that expansion draft. You might not have paid attention to it. You might be too young. But we had the expansion draft the same year as the Jaguars. And the Jaguars right. went in there, and it was Tom Coughlin. And he brought in everybody on the offensive side. We had Dom yeah. Capers in Carolina, and he was pulling in everybody he could from the defensive side. It was like two totally opposite approaches.
Opposites.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And then I made the Super Bowl one year, and next year Jaguars made it. To lose,
yep.
you know. But it,
I
it was
totally forgotten that the when the season that Sam Mills was diagnosed with cancer was the 2003 Super Bowl season. That he still came to work as long as he could, and he even took, they gave him 3 months to live when he was diagnosed, and he made it not only through that season but into the 2004 season as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that Peppers, there was a clip that I saw where Peppers was on that particular documentary, and he was saying that that was the year that he heard Sam Mills come in, and he was there when he gave that speech. He said, well, the doctor said I could do two things. He said I could quit or I could keep pounding.
Yep.
And that right there. And just to hear Pepper say that, man, dude, I got goosebumps. Oh, my goodness.
Shit, I got misty, man, watching it. I was like, damn, this is inspiring. I should watch this every week.
Yeah. You can apply
this. Was coming on a couple hours later. I didn't know. I was like, I need to watch the Smitty. I need to watch the Smitty one to pick me up a little bit here.
Yeah. But you can use it in so many aspects of our own lives, you know what I mean? Everybody knows our lives
yeah.
ain't perfect. I mean, there's always so much that goes wrong. I mean, there's so many people that we know that have been affected with cancers and stuff like that. You know, man, you just got to freaking keep
yep.
pounding.
Yep.
You know, that comment by you, Jackson, made me think, you know, there's so many different attitudes you can have to be successful in the world. You can try to beat down somebody else, or you try to work with somebody, or you try to uplift somebody, or you try to beat somebody down. And you got Sam
mm-hmm.
Mills saying, pound and keep going at it. And then you got Smitty coming off saying, ice up, son, ice up. You know, it's sort of two different attitudes there.
Yeah. Very much so. Well, I mean, Smitty and Sam Mills had a lot in common, and you could say that. I bet that he'd probably say that Sam Mills had an impact on him in the way that he studied the game and everything. Because you know, Steve Smith put in the time too. I mean,
oh, yeah.
he was constantly watching tape of defensive backs and looking for an edge. So. That's one thing you tend to find from a lot of these stars, the guys that are successful and over the long term, not just a couple good seasons, but you know, long careers, is they study their opponents.
Oh, I've heard them talking about there's some that'll go and find out your wife's name and her first husband's name and all that kind of stuff, and then others will say, no, that's off limits. But they go
yeah.
through the whole gamut. Their little trash talk stuff.
Well, I know. I believe some tried that with Josh Norman, didn't they? Or no, with Steve Smith. They were talking junk to him.
Yep.
Old rookie, old number 31 over there. You know, we have to teach him the rules and regulations.
They were giving Smith hell about his wife.
Yeah. Yep.
Who's that? I didn't hear you say that. Who was that, Goose?
I want to say that was Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, and that's what when Smitty went off on him.
Yep.
And that's why yep. I said some of the guys said no, that should have been off limits. Talking about the guy's wife.
I want to say he
yes.
torched him for, you know, 100 and something yards and two touchdowns or something. And then after the game, you could just tell Smitty was pissed during that game. He's just playing like he's on fire. And he said they was Jack and Jaws, and he just said something about, and then he mentioned my wife. It was like, oh, man, that was the wrong thing to do.
I'm a fairly big guy, but he's just one guy. Him and Thomas Davis, I really think that I do not want to meet it in the dark alley. I mean, I would if I had to, but it's not going to be my choice.
Yeah.
I would hate to piss those two off.
Well, what would you do with Davis? Because, I mean, even if you beat him down, he's playing in the Super Bowl with Godzilla, Frankenstein stitches on his arm.
You can't hit metal. I mean, you just hurt your hand. You know what I mean? And I'm not willing to do that. I like my hand. I need it.
Well, I've said on the blog and on the show many times, I shook Steve Smith's hand and it was like a vice, man. I was just like immediately impressed with how strong his grip was. And yeah,
I believe it.
I wouldn't want him to hit me. I wouldn't want him to hit me. But it kind of made me understand why he can go up and high point them balls and how he catches the ball so clean, you know. Because he's got some really strong hands. Well, Kat, we got to do better with FanDuel this week, or, you know, DraftKings. Last week was
I was just happy I only lost $200 last week. I mean, I won, but, I mean, when I go to play, I mean, I play to win everything, but, I mean, say I only lost $200, that's good. But I still won some.
I mean, my six core players I picked, only two of them had a decent day. So I just kind of missed on my core players. Think Ingram and Fitz had good games. That was about it. Tom Brady didn't do shit against the damn Jets.
Now, I had Drew Brees, man. I mean, oof.
Yeah, what a weird game. If you see the Saints put up 52 damn points, you're thinking, oh, my God, Drew Brees must have had 5 touchdowns. You know? Yeah, he put up, what, one? Did he even have one touchdown? I think he put up 12 points total, didn't he?
If that, 12 or 13, yeah.
Yeah, I think
awful.
He just threw for like 2.
Of...
Yeah, he threw for like 220.
For 180. It was 180. Yeah.
And one touchdown.
He has, that's right. It was the 10 again.
That's right.
But look, he has never come off a bye and thrown less. Again, talking to my buddy about this, all the research we do throughout the week, every time he comes off a bye and he plays at home, it's for 340 to 360 and usually between 2 and 3 touchdowns. It was an automatic start for me.
Yeah. Yep. And did not materialize. Even though they put up 52, they had 3 special team scores. Yeah, the defense outscored the offense. Or special teams. They had a defensive touchdown. They had a fumble recovery and a punt return, I think. Or was it a pick six? I don't know. They had scored 3 different ways, one on special teams and 2 on defense. It's crazy. Their defense put up 33 points in fantasy.
Did you not see the two plays? One of which, like, so Drew Brees was just saying they were on the 1 yard line, on their 1 yard line, and Drew Brees was trying to hit a slant across the middle, and A'shaun Robinson, the defensive lineman for the Lions, just popped up. I mean, intercepted it, boom, and all he had to do was take one step forward, and it was a touchdown. Same thing Cam Jordan did to Matt Stafford on the 1 yard line. So they did the same thing, too. It was amazing. You just don't see defensive linemen do that. It's awesome.
Well, the Colts Simon linebacker did that Monday night. Had a pick six right at the line, just jumped up at the line and took it away and scored on Stafford. No, not Stafford, the Mariota.
Dang, I missed that.
Yeah. But I want to say there was – and then the Lions defense scored a couple times too. It was just that, that Lions thing game was just a trip. Because when you look at the score, you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, Drew Brees must have went off. Matt Stafford must have went off. No, not really.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Like you said, I mean, you think that if there's 50 points scored on the New Orleans side, I mean, you would go to bed thinking, my goodness, Brees went off, and that's not the case.
No.
That's crazy.
No. It is. And then I guess the high scorer of the week was Melvin Gordon. And, you know, you just wouldn't expect that, him playing in Oakland. So
I didn't play him in one lineup. Goose, you getting all this or are you asleep?
No, I'm here. I'm getting ready to bail out. I was just thinking, hearing the dogs in the background laughing. But
yeah,
I think I'm going to bail out on you. Only thing I got for you guys is, Jack, you need to start saying use guys instead of y'all and get that jersey out. You'll be all right.
Use guys.
Use guys.
Yeah, well. All right, guys. Hey, Kat.
I spent a Christmas in Wisconsin once.
And we'll share some info this week. All right?
Sounds good. Good night, guys.
All right,
guys.
Y'all have a good one. All right, bye.